Morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. This is Arthur Burley Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. But you guys were screaming live this morning, also on Facebook Live at Rap Time Martin. So you guys remember to drop in. Thank you, Lord. Today, like I always say, you guys already know that God allow us to live in this day that he made. This is the day the Lord has made, and what an honor and a privilege that we get to live in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Right? I'm excited to be in the land of the living. We should not take it for granted because somebody didn't wake up this morning, right? We know not everybody got up this morning on this side. So the fact that we're still here means that God still has a good plan and a good purpose for our lives. That's how I look at life, right? Okay, Lord, so here I am again today. What is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? Your word is my command, right? Your word is my command. It's whatever you want. Because the only reason we're here is because it was God's idea. How many of you know that you are God's idea? You're here because it was God's idea, and that's the only reason. Thank you, Lord. That's the only reason you're here, because it was God's idea. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, guys, I'm getting ready to come on. I'm getting ready to start. Father, we just thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us, Lord God, for creating us to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, Lord God. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, we're getting ready. You guys, we're getting ready to Rhema word read. We're getting ready to Rhema word read. I believe it's Matthew 28, right? You guys can go on my Facebook page or my Wisdom Walk page and pick up the other episodes, or even on my YouTube page. My YouTube is Jean Martin 1681. Okay, you guys ready? Here we go, here we go, here we go. Lord, what is it you have to say to me, to us again today? Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of the living God. Father, you said when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you would fill us, Lord Spirit. Holy Spirit, we're here, so we ask that you show up. You said where two or three are joined together, there you are in the midst of us. We're on... okay, we're on Matthew 24. I need someone to help me out here. We read 23 yesterday. We on Matthew 24. We almost finished, right? Let's see where we at. Matthew 24. Hold on, guys. Let me see. Let me get myself together here. Yeah, we're on Matthew 24, where Jesus starts to speak about the future. Okay, I'm sorry about that, you guys. Matthew 24. Okay, so here we go. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone would be left on top of another." Later, Jesus said on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return in the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you." He said, "Don't let anyone mislead you. He say, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, right? We're seeing this already. He said, they will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nations will rise. Nations will go to war against nations, right? We're reading the NLT version, New Living Translation. So he said, nations will go to war against nations, right? We're seeing all this. He says, kingdoms against kingdoms. He said, there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. And we're seeing this, right? All this is going down now, right? So these are the signs of the end time. He said, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. This is just the beginning, he said. This is just the beginning. Verse 9, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed, he's telling them. He said, you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. How many of you know that when we choose to live for Christ, when we choose to live for Christ, we too will suffer persecution. When we choose to live for Christ, we too will suffer persecution. Those who choose to live for Christ will suffer persecution, right? People are going to talk about you. People are going to lie on you. You're going to be slandered. They'll try to ruin your reputations. When you choose to live for Christ, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. He said that when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, the word of the Lord said we're to rejoice because that means truly that the glory of the Lord is resting upon us. When you're being persecuted for doing the right thing, not the wrong thing, he said, we need to rejoice. When people are talking about you because you're talking about God and they're saying, oh, they just, that's all they want to talk about. Oh, they just gone too far. They just done took it too far. When you're being persecuted, oh, gone, I don't want to hear all that, you crazy. You know, when you're being persecuted, when you're being lied on, when your character is trying to be assassinated, he said, you need to rejoice. Don't get upset. Don't get discouraged. Don't get mad. He said, we're to rejoice because that means truly that the glory of the Lord is resting upon you. In other words, the devil sees the spirit of the Lord resting upon you, right? He says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, you'll be killed and hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. We see this now. We see this now. We see this now. The love of many will grow cold. People are not hospitable like they used to be. It's like people really don't care like they used to care. And when you show an act of kindness to someone, they want to know, okay, so what do you want? Because it's so rare in nature that people always thinking that there's a string attached to God's goodness, to God's kindness. No, I don't want anything out of it. I'm just, you know, just being a blessing to you. But we as believers, this is our time to shine. Every day the Lord tells us to let our light so shine, let our lifestyle so shine. We can allow our light to shine by operating in the fruits of the Spirit, kindness, patience, gentleness, love, long-suffering, right? He said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. So we see now the reason Jesus ain't came back yet is because the gospel has not been preached throughout the world. But social media is definitely a vehicle in which I believe the Lord is using to shoot the word of the Lord throughout the earth, through the airways, right? Social media, you know, I was talking about that yesterday. I heard the Lord say a digital footprint, how we have to leave our digital footprint in the earth. And what are you saying? Social media is leaving a digital footprint. If you don't do nothing but put a Bible verse on Facebook or whatever your social media site is, put Christ on blast. Let's gossip about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In doing so, we're helping to spread the gospel throughout the world because every time you hit share, you're sending the word. The word of the Lord said that God sent his word and he healed them, right? That God watches over his word to perform it. And his word will not return unto him void, right? He said, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious objects that cause desecration standing in the holy place. He said, reader, pay attention. It's in parentheses. Verse 16, then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into a house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a goat. How terrible it would be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be greater anguish then at any time since the world began, and it would never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. 23, Matthew's 23:23. Matthew's 24:23. I'm sorry about that. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, he said, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen one. So even the elect will be some of the elect, even God's elect will be deceived. It's so important that we start Bible reading, right, Tammy, and not scripture reading, that we read the word of the living God. If you need to just read a chapter a day, let's start back Bible reading and not just scripture reading, not just taking scriptures, but Bible reading, eating the whole roll, eating all of the word, reading the word in context, right? Verse 25, see, I have warned you about this ahead of time. Jesus said, I'm warning you ahead of time about this. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Don't be following in behind these false prophets, these people saying that they're Jesus Christ. They know when God is coming back. Stay away from all that kind of stuff. He's saying no man knows, right? He says, so if anyone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or look, he is hiding there. Don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures show there it is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. You know how those blackbirds gather around a dead body? You know something dead is out there, because look, the vultures come where there's dead carcass. He said, listen, this just as the vultures show there is a carcass, a dead something nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. These signs, the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going to give you these signs. I'm going to let you know, warning before destruction. Warning comes before destruction. I'm letting you know ahead of time that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be false prophets saying that they're the Messiah and all this kind of stuff. I'm letting you know ahead of time, because God, a warning comes before destruction. Don't you want your children? Don't you want to warn your children if a snake is in the grass, not to go in that grass? Because that's what love is. This is our Abba Father. We are sons of God and children of God. And because we have been baptized into the body, our spirit cries, Abba Father. This is our Father, our Daddy God, and we're his children, right? And he's warning us, and he's telling us ahead of time. He said, listen, I want you to be aware. I want you to be I want you to be discerning. I want you to be able to discern the seasons and to discern the time, so you can know what season and what time we're in, because I'm letting you in on some inside stuff, because you are my children, right? You are my children. In the same way a father has compassion on his son, is the same way our Abba Father has compassion on his children. 29, it says, immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the power in the heaven will be shaken. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in heaven, and there will be deep mourning among all the people of the earth, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And you will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree, he says. excuse me. He says, when its branches bud and its leaf begins to sprout, you know that summer is near. He said, listen, discern. You can discern, you can tell. He said, you can learn from the fig trees. You know that when the bud is getting ready to sprout. You know, I want you to be able to discern the seasons and discern the times. He said, when its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. When we see these signs, we see these wonders, we see these things happening, we can know that he's very near. 34, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. 36, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. Verse 37, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's days. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. He said, I'm trying to tell you what's going to happen before I come back. Two men will be working together in the field and one will be taking the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill and one will be taken and the other one left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And I, you know, I'm like, we need to live every day like it's our last day and say, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will, right? Because no man knows the day or the hour. And so we need to live ready every single day. We need to make sure that we're living and walking in fellowship and that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are not workers of iniquity, that our heart condition is good because our heart motive is God, because no man knows the day nor the hour. No man. He says, so watch. So you too must keep watch. Watch. He tells, watch and pray. For you don't know what day your Lord is coming. None of us know what day we're going to die. People are laying down, falling asleep, and not waking up. How many of you know you don't have to be sick to die? You don't have to be sick to die. But we can. So, I live every day like it's my last day. Because we're not promised tomorrow. He said, understand this. He said, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. If a burglar told you, hey, we're going to come tomorrow to rob your house, you're going to be sober, you're going to be alert, and you're going to be on guard to keep this burglar from breaking in. Well, the Lord is saying, you don't know him. Jesus is going to come. The Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. And no man gonna know the day, the time, the second, the minute, the moment. But he's saying, listen, I'm giving you, you know, when it's cloudy outside, we say, look like it's gonna rain. We're discerning the atmosphere. We're discerning the weather. It looks like it's cloudy. It looks just like it's going to rain. Well, the Lord wants us to be able to discern the times and to discern the seasons. So he's telling us ahead of time what to look for, right? So he says, if a thief comes, you don't know. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Nobody knows when the Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken in. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. The Son of Man is coming when we least expect him. You know, it's going to be like in Noah days. Everybody's going to be eating and drinking and being merry, going on about their business like life as usual. And he's going to show up like a thief in the night. So let's just live ready. Let's let our light shine daily, right? Let's be the salt in the earth every day, all day. But most important of all, let's make sure that we have accepted Jesus Christ and we have made him not just our Savior, but our Lord and Savior. There's a difference when Jesus is your Lord. It's kind of like he's our supervisor. His word becomes our command. And we want to live Christ-like. We don't just want to say we saved so we can go to heaven, but we want to become disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to live a surrendered lifestyle, saying, Lord, not my will, Lord, not my way, Lord, not my want, Lord. 45 says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. He said, if the master returns and finds that the servants has done a good job, he said, there will be a reward. The Lord is going to hand out rewards, you guys. He said, I tell you the truth. The master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk, he said, the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's make sure that we're not hypocrites. Make sure that we're not saying one thing and living a whole entire different way. Because the truth of the matter is, God sees what man can't see, right? And whatever we do in work, this is about a love relationship with ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? This is what this is. This is not religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about to be a relational, you have to be intentional. If we don't spend time with each other and if we don't spend time with God, we can't develop a relationship, right? So I like to say it like I always say, we have to make room for him because he makes room for us, right? Each and every single day, God wakes us up. We must acknowledge him in all our ways so that he can direct our path, right? It's not that we don't have time for God. We just don't make time for God. The time that God gives us, we need to sow it back, give it back to him. The very breath that we breathe comes from him. The very life that we move is because of him that we live, that we move, and that we have our very being, our very existence. And for us not to take time out to say thank you, for us not to take time out to spend, you know, God and his word is one. God and his word is one. God and his word is one. So when we're spending time with the word, we're spending time with God. When we're spending time with the word, we're spending time with God. You know, I sense an urgency to come back to the Bible, to come back to the word of God. And I'm not talking about scripture reading. I'm talking about Bible reading. Let's come back to the word of the Lord. Come back to the Lord. I'm not talking about coming back to a Bible. I'm saying come back to Jesus. What is it that causes us to lose our fire for God? What is it that causes us to lose our desire for God? Is it not when we start lusting after the things of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the deceitfulness of riches? John tells us, he says, love not the world nor the things of the world that's in it. Because when we love the world, when we start chasing after the things of the world, we lose our love for God and we lose our fire for God and we lose our desire for the things of God. Haven't you ever just stopped and wondered what happened to me? I used to be on fire for God. I used to want to talk about him all the time. I was volunteering here. Everywhere you go, I wanted to know, did they have a relationship? Did they know him? Do you know him? And now I barely even want to talk about God. I no longer have a desire for the things of God. I no longer read the word of God. Don't you want to know what happened? He says, because when we start chasing after the WORLD, the things of this world, it causes us to lose our love for the WORD. It causes us to lose our love for our God. So let's just come back. Let's come back, to the Father's house, come back in relationship. The Father wants to have a love relationship with you, to be relational. We're gonna have to be intentional. We're gonna have to do it on purpose. You know, some of us are chasing after friendships with other people, and some of us is chasing after other relationships with other people. And the Lord is saying, that's how I want you to feel about me. You know how you long to have time with your husband and how you want that marriage to be on fire like it was when you first met? That's what I desire to have with you. I want you to desire me like that. I want you to miss me. I want you to remember me. Remember, forget not the Lord's benefits when he delivered you. Do you remember when God delivered you? I do. I remember I was empty on the inside and I was just looking for love in all the wrong people and all the wrong places. I was rejected by men, but I didn't realize that I was accepted by him. And at the end of it all, at the end of my search, there he was to meet me. He was drawing me. It wasn't that I found him. He was drawing me, because the truth of the matter is no man can come to the Father except he draws him. And so he was drawing me. I was going back and forth with the remote control. I was going to BET to praise the Lord. BET, I'll never forget. I was sitting at home on my couch. And the day that the Desert Storm War began is the day I accepted Jesus Christ. And I just surrendered. And it was as if I had fallen into his arms. And I said, oh, Lord, you're what I've been looking for my entire life. And my search was over, but my journey had begun, because now I had to know, who is this man that would give his life for me? What is it that made me so special? For God so loved you, that God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten son. I pray, I'm getting ready to end it today right now, but I pray that before you start your day, that we just stop, drop, and we pray, and we just take a second, a minute, and a moment to acknowledge God in all our ways, because, Father, you have promised to direct our paths. So, Father, we ask that we surrender ourselves to you. We lay down our life as a living sacrifice, and, Lord, we say we surrender all. We yield our members to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, I'm getting ready to end it here. But if you guys are interested in publishing, you ever want to publish your own book, go to my main page, hit on my name, go to my main page, and there's a link there where I'm teaching people step by step. I'm doing a video tutorial, step by step, interactive teaching, step by step of how to self-publish your own book. It's time to give birth to the babies. It's time to give birth to the books. I don't know about you, but I want to die empty. It's time to give birth to whatever it is that God is asking you to do. How many of you know that there is no age in God? Because Moses went into full-time ministry at 80. God told him to go back. It took 40 years to strip him of himself, to prepare him and equip him for the work of the ministry. Then he said, okay, I need you to go back to Egypt now. And he started making all these excuses. I got this speech impediment, I can't hardly talk. And, God didn't know this, right? But thank God for his grace and his mercy. He still didn't change his mind about Moses. He said, I'll let Aaron go and he'll be your mouthpiece. And whatever I say to you, you prophet, whatever I say to you, you tell Aaron, and Aaron will speak to the people, right? What is it? Remember that when we tell our story, that God gets the glory. We testify every time we testify. The word of the Lord says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So every time we testify, how many of you know we make the devil out to be a lie, right? And it encourages someone else. It lifts up someone else. It's so important that we tell our story so that God can get the glory. I'm getting ready to end it here. Again, you guys, all my books are online at Amazon. My newest release is my Daily Discoveries of God's Goodness. And it's a daily journal, but it has questions at the top. It has questions to challenge you. Like, what is it? How was God good to you today? It's a little daily journal that helps us to be conscious of God's daily presence. So when I say things like keep looking for the good in your day so you can see God's goodness all throughout your day, it's just gonna make you think about, what has God done to you for you today that was so good? How did God bless you today? Or, how was you a light in the midst of someone's darkness today? It's just going to challenge us to think. So you're not going to be sitting there trying to think of stuff to write. It has questions at the top. This is how I make my journals, right? Because the goal is always God. The word of God is that's what's going to transform and change our lives. As we put the word of God in our mind, as we renew our mind to the word of God, we think about our thoughts. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are praiseworthy. He said, think on these things. And so this I just ordered mine today, so I'm waiting for it to come in so I can show you guys. But also, don't forget, it's for pastors, people, everybody. My Bible study guide. You see here, every chapter. This is where you can take your notes. You take your notes. Bibles, this is the cover. Bible study notebook. It's on my Facebook page, but I also have a page called Pearlie Martin Books. You guys can go over there and like that page. I'm really excited about this book. It's in hard copy too. This is soft copy. The hard copy just came out. If you guys would like to order directly from Hi guys, this is Arthur Pearlie Martin. Remember to pick up all my books online at Arthur Pearlie Martin, at Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, under Pearlie Martin Books. You guys, remember to like this, to subscribe to this podcast. Help support this podcast. Hit that subscribe button. And you guys make sure that you share the link. But more than anything, you guys stroll through here. I have over 200 some episodes. Stroll through here and see if God has a word for you. Again, this is Arthur Pearlie Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. You guys be blessed. And like I always say, keep looking for what's good in your day so you can see God's goodness all throughout your day.